Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky, and I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Thursday, February 4th. And by the way, I would like to thank Patricia and Jerry St. Clair Sr. for sponsoring this day of gospel music, and I want to wish them a happy anniversary today. Amen. Well, this Thursday, we're going to be looking in Matthew chapter number 6 again here in just a few moments. I do have a good song queued up to go with that. We'll get to that in just a moment as well. Let me just mention a couple things of prayer requests, a few things of prayer requests, and then we'll have prayer and move right along into the broadcast. Do pray for us. My wife and I are planning on leaving out in the morning, going to Pollard, Oklahoma, hauling a U-Haul truck and our vehicle full of stuff for Joshua and Katie, helping them get moved. And then, Lord willing, we'll be spending the weekend with them. And hopefully the plan is for Joshua, my dad, and myself, all three generations of us, to preach there this Sunday. And so pray that God would bless that and use that. Pray for Brother James Crawford. He'll be preaching for us this Sunday morning and night. And so pray as he fills in for us here at the Island Ford Baptist Church as well. Do keep Brother and Sister Hall in your prayers. They're both facing some health issues and want to keep them in prayer. Brother George Woodard, as he faces health problems as well. Other members of the church with different things going on, we want to remember them in prayer. So let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. Thank you for your goodness, grace, and mercy. Thank you for salvation that was bought by the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, worth far more than silver or gold. I want to thank you, Lord, for giving us salvation through that blood and through faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for the privilege to pray and for the power of prayer. Thank you for the prayers that you have answered in the past and what we're trusting you to do even now. Lord, I pray be with my wife and I as we load up and head out to Oklahoma this weekend. And Lord, I pray give us a good trip and a good time together there. Help Joshua and Katie as they get settled into their house. And Lord, the church, new church and new pastor and all those things, I pray be with that and bless that. And then help, my dad's birthday is going to be on Saturday. Help that he'll have a happy birthday and that we'll have a good service on Sunday. Pray, Lord, that you'd help here at the Island Ford Baptist Church and Brother Crawford and the folks here, that you'd bless them and help them through this service as well and guide and direct and meet those needs. And then that you'd bless this broadcast and use it for your glory and honor. I pray for Brother and Sister Hall and for Brother Woodard and the different ones with health issues. Would you bless them? And Lord, you receive glory and honor. We'll thank you for all you do. We do ask it in Jesus' lovely and precious name. Amen and amen. All right. Well, thank you for praying with us, and I do hope you'll be praying for us as well. Amen. Well, as we said, we've got a message today from Matthew chapter number 6. We're going to be looking at verses 16, 17, and 18. If you'd like to look in your Bible, get prepared for that. We'll be looking in that in just a moment. But first, I've got this good song lined up here, and this is by the Primitive Quartet, and a song entitled When the Shepherd Became the Lamb. And it's talking about our wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it's got a wonderful story and a great picture that you can see there. And so I hope you'll enjoy this song, one of my favorites from the Primitive Quartet. And they're singing When the Shepherd Became the Lamb. All right. Well, we are looking in Matthew chapter number 6. And today we're looking at verses number 16 through 18. We're talking about the counsel of our Lord on piety. We're talking about fasting. We're talking about the practice of fasting, the perversion of fasting, and the propriety of fasting. We'll continue that throughout the week, and I hope it will be a blessing to you. Now, today's sermon may contain some of the information that we had in the previous message, but we'll also move along into some new information. So I hope you stay tuned as we enjoy the message as it was preached live from the pulpit of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky. Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter 6 verses 16 through 18. The Bible says, Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they might appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face,
that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So fasting was given by God for special occasions. It was not, again, it was not a ritualistic thing just to do it so often. Turn back to Leviticus chapter number 16. I'll show you Israel in the giving of the law. Israel only had one specified fast day. Only one in a year. In Leviticus chapter number 16, verses 29 through 31. Leviticus 16, 29, the Bible says, "And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls, and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you, to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls by a statute forever." Now, again, that didn't change with the coming in of the New Testament, because he said that is a statute how long? He didn't say till the cross. He said that's a statute right on past the cross. That's a statute forever. Amen. Now, it's the nation of Israel, and he's dealing with what is known as the Day of Atonement. And he uses a phrase that we don't use much. He talks about afflicting your soul. That's the idea that he's got in there. Now, let me say something about this. I want you to notice that he says in verse number 31, "This shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you." Now, it wasn't the seventh day. It wasn't always a Saturday, because he said it's the tenth day of the seventh month. That day could fall on Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or Saturday. It could fall any day of the week, but on the tenth day of the seventh month, they called it a holy day. It was a Sabbath in which they fasted, in which they afflicted their soul. Psalm 35 and verse number 13. "But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth." Look at this phrase. "I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into my own bosom." He said, I bowed over in prayer. I was bent over in prayer. I was bowed in prayer. Anguish and sorrow I afflicted my own soul, because they were afflicted. That's how he's talking about his prayer was. So the idea of fasting, the ancient idea, is to humble the soul. It is to chasten the soul, and actually to afflict the soul. So this day that God set aside for Israel, one day a year, he said, "I want you to afflict yourself." That's not what the Catholics teach, this flagellation, where you beat your body, where you cut yourself, where you mark yourself, where you harm your body for some supposed spiritual good. That's not what the Bible's teaching. Amen. Some of them even carry it all the way back to where our Lord talked about, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. Your hand offends you, cut it off. If your foot offends you, cut it off. They take that as literal physical things that you're doing that supposed some harming of the body helps the soul. That's not at all what he's talking about. But he is saying this. He's saying you humble the body. You don't let the hand do just what it wants to do. You don't let the foot go just where it wants to go. You don't let the eyes look on just what they want to look on. You humble them. You take control. And the same thing with our soul. We don't just think on what we want to think on that day. Our Lord said, "I want you to think on this thing of the atonement." Now, when you think on the atonement, there's some things that come to mind. First of all, sin comes to mind. Death comes to mind. An innocent sacrifice comes to mind. And those are things that'll take us down a notch or two. Amen. That somebody had to die for us to be forgiven. That somebody had to suffer and bleed and die for us to be saved by the good grace of God. Not of good that I've done. Nothing that I can boast on. It's not my great prayers. It's not my big giving. It's not my long fasting. It's nothing that I have done. It's all by His grace that God sent His own Son to take my place and to pay the price for my sin. Amen. But fasting's a biblical principle. Let me just give you an abbreviated version of some of the people in the Bible that fasted. I've got a bunch that I could throw out. But it's not just religious zealots that are known to fast. It's not just hypocrites that fasted. And you don't have to turn to these. I'll read you some of these verses. Nineveh fasted and prayed when they heard that judgment was on its way. Amen. Jonah chapter 3, verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even unto the least of them. Not that God was going to hear them anymore because they wasn't eating. Not that God was going to forgive them just because they wasn't eating. But they were showing their sincerity. They were showing their dedication. They were not focusing on anything else. They were focused on getting to God and getting their sin dealt with. Amen. Not only did Jonah... They had a fast in Jonah's day in Nineveh, but Daniel fasted when he needed an answer from God. Daniel chapter 9 verse 3, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Amen. You remember when Nehemiah heard about the destruction of the gates of Jerusalem and the bad, sad case that Jerusalem was laying in? You know what Nehemiah did? He fasted certain days. That's what he said. Nehemiah 1:4, and it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. The prophet Joel proclaimed a fast and that prayers be made to seek God for revival. Amen. Joel chapter 1 and chapter 2, both times, he talks about sanctify a fast. Amen. In verse number 14 of chapter 1, Joel said, sanctify ye a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land unto the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. Here's the point I'm making. Israel was given one day that they were obligated to fast. There were other days there was no obligation, but when a special need arose, when a special burden came up, they could proclaim a fast. Amen. By the way, in our American history, I'm not just talking about way back yonder in world history, but in our American history, presidents in the past have proclaimed a fast, a day of fasting and mourning and weeping before God. Amen. Wouldn't it be something if they did that again? They would think they'd gone crazy. Amen. Well, I've talked about all those Old Testament, and I could show you others in the New, but here's one real good one. The church at Antioch, when God said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work whereunto I've called them, they didn't just jump up and lay their hands on them and send them out. They fasted certain days. Turn with me, if you will, and I'll show you Acts chapter 13. Be good for us to see it. Acts 13. And verse 3. God had called them in verse number 2. He had proved them in verse 1. But he called them in verse 2. Verse 3. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Amen. I believe it'd be good to fast and pray over your missionaries. Amen. It'd be good to fast and pray over your preachers. Those that are going out with the gospel message. Amen. Not only in the New Testament did the early church there at Antioch fast and pray, but our Lord recommended it in Matthew chapter number 17. You probably remember very well that a man brought his son to the disciples to cast the devil out of his son because his son was being thrown in the fire, being thrown in the water. It looks like he's trying to commit suicide. It was the devil's causing that. And I believe they do today many times. I believe they're involved a lot of times in the suicide. Devil's involved. Well, this man brought his son to the disciples to cast the devils out, and they couldn't. Our Lord came down from the mountain. He'd been on the mountain with his inner circle and had been transfigured. You know the story, but he came down and he cast the devil out. But they asked him, why could they not? Look at chapter 17, verse 21. These are the words of our Lord. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Turn to Mark chapter number 9 and you'll see the same account. Mark's account of the same instance that happened. Mark chapter 9 and verse number 29 is the statement of our Lord. Mark chapter 9 verse 29. And he said, well, let me look back at verse 28. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? Verse 29. And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Now here you say, preacher, why does it matter? Why is fasting important? Because I personally believe I don't believe for one second that those disciples wasn't praying. But it's obvious they wasn't fasting. They had prayed, still no power, still not enough power. Our Lord said, this kind only comes when you have prayer combined with fasting. Now, what gives you power when you don't eat? It's not that you get power when you don't eat. It's just like Samson's hair. His power was not in his hair. His power was in the vow that was made and that communion, that connection with God. And it was God that came upon him that gave him his power. And if we have any power whatsoever in prayer and fasting, it's not our prayer or our fasting that causes it, but it brings us in connection with God that his power can come down like he said it would. Amen. Covenant that's been made. Amen. So, it can be seen that fasting is basically done to enable us to be more capable of doing our spiritual duties. Amen. That it causes us to lose thought so much of this world and to look more into the spirit world, into the heavenly world and those things. Amen. And so saying that, fasting's not an end in itself. It's not, well, I'm going to proclaim this fast, and when I get done, God's going to do that for me. Friend, you're not going to twist God's arm. You're not going to get one up on the Lord. Amen. I remember when I was in school when they had some men was imprisoned, and one of them went, they called it a hunger strike. You remember that? Because they wasn't going to eat or drink anything but water for so long until they got their way. Their point for that was to draw attention. By the way, it wasn't to draw attention from God. It was to draw attention to the media, which is some people's God, but it's not God. But it was to draw attention of the media to their predicament, to their special topic, their special interest, whatever. They were to draw attention. Well, really, fasting is to draw attention from God, but not to draw attention from men. Fasting is to get us so we are more focused on God. Not that he's more focused on us, but that we are more focused on God. And we recognize how badly we need him in this particular case. Amen. And so I believe that fasting helps clear our mind, cleanse our mind from the thoughts of the world, even though they're not necessarily wicked thoughts. They're just vain thoughts. Or they're just not needful or helpful at the present time. You know, the Ecclesiastes talks about a time for everything under the sun, and that's exactly right. Some things that are not wrong whatsoever, but need to be set aside for a time, because there's something more important at this moment. Amen. And our Lord said that about this thing of this spiritual matter, all right? So, I talked about he mentions, first of all, the practice of fasting. Number two, and I won't take as long with these next two, there's the perversion that he mentions here. In verse number 16, he says, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Amen. I mentioned that fasting, I believe the premise, the point of fasting is to take our mind off of earthly things. But these hypocrites used fasting to point out earthly things. They, instead of taking people's minds off of pride, self, vainglory, they used their fasting to bring thoughts of pride and selfishness and vainglory. And they were, in a sense, they were turning it on its head, as the Pharisees did with many of God's doctrines and his laws. The Pharisees loved to be viewed by the populace as so very religious, so super religious and super pious. And they wanted, like a lot of people do today, they wanted to be the great man of God in the crowd. Amen. And I tell you, I believe I'm a man of God. I know I'm the pastor, and sometimes I get that connotation, that phrase, he's the man of God. They pray, Lord, help the man of God when he preaches. But every one of you men ought to be a man of God. Right. Amen. Every one of you ladies ought to be a woman of God, a lady of God. I'm not making you preachers, but I'm saying you ought to be dedicated to God just as much as I had, to be honest with you. Just as much as whoever we have preach a revival or whoever sings specials or whoever does anything, every one of us, our goal ought to be, Lord, I want to be sold out to you totally. Amen. But we've got this idea today. We got a caste system in churches. Amen. You got the lowers and then the middles and then the higher echelon. Our Lord's teaching against that. That is the perversion that the Pharisees had brought into this thing of fasting. Amen.
And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. So we're going to have to break in the message right there. But Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow and continue this message throughout this week. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day and God bless you.